Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, first of all, just a quick note about the tithing. It's one of those things we know we should, and I know things are tough, especially when we're seniors and on a fixed budget. It doesn't get any easier, does it? But yet, one of the things I learned many years ago is you put your money where your heart is. And so what I would like to ask all of you to do is we have 2 weeks to do some praying, talk to the Lord, and see what answer you get. All right, let's talk about what is in our readings today. And I'm going to spend some time preaching about the epistle lesson in Romans, because it's so important. When God made the covenant with Abraham, what did he tell him they had to do? Well, he had to sacrifice, right? And also men had to give up a certain part of their anatomy, which I always find interesting, because when you're an adult and do that without any painkiller or antibiotic, you know, it must hurt a little bit. In fact, I had a real good friend, Jerry Chalupa, band director at Ralston, who had had a quadruple bypass, and when he had to have the foreskin taken off, and he was, 60, 62 years old. Went and visited him at the hospital. I said, "How you doing, Jerry?" And he says, "You want to know the truth? I'd gladly go through another quadruple bypass and to have this done again." So I think that sort of puts things in perspective. Ooh, ouch. But let's talk about what God wanted. Part of the things that we don't know about this at this time is that at the time of sacrifice, people dressed up in white. Then, when the animal was sacrificed and bled, they cut its throat, collected the blood, then they had a special, like a thing with a handle and a reservoir with little holes, and the priest would take it and sprinkle the blood on the people in white, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Okay? That's where we get that. But is that the only way things were done? Well, no. What part of the thing that also had to be done, and Paul alludes to it in verse 13. Let me show this, read this to you again. First, I'm going to start in verse 12. He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons, see the sprinkling, with the ashes of a heifer, sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from the dead works to serve the living God. Boy, that one's really heavy, isn't it? Well, let's tear that apart. First of all, what is Paul focusing on here? Blood, isn't he? I mean, verse 12 deals with blood, this whole thing. Look at verse 22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So in other words, something has to die for sins to be washed away. It's right there in the Bible, isn't it? Why? Well, let's talk about this for a second. One of the things in the Old Testament, it talks about part of this process, and it tells us to take the goat and the lamb. Remember, it talks about separating them. Okay. And you take a goat who is without blemish, is perfect in every way. And the sins of the people are put on that goat. And the goat is released into the wilds of the desert. Well, what's going to happen to the goat? He's going to die. He's going to be dinner for something. Okay. And the term for this is scapegoat. That's a term we've all heard, isn't it? He was a scapegoat, wasn't he? Well, part of the thing is that's where this comes from. In other words, you sacrifice one thing for everybody, correct? All right, so there can be no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. That's the first covenant between God and Abraham. All right, so if it's time for the first covenant to end, what does God do? Well, God can change his mind, but also God is always consistent. Is there a disagreement there? Well, not really. Because when God set all this out, he knew what was going to happen to end that. But people had to live. They had to be in the Old Testament. They had to have sacrifices. Do you really think that a huge fire and burning up everything you can get is going to be pleasing to God? Burn offerings? What does God say about it? Well, many times even Jesus talked about the burnt offerings. The scent of the burnt offerings are not pleasing to God. Interesting, isn't it? So, the first covenant is you cannot have forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And to have blood shed, it had to be something that was perfect and without blemish. Correct? Okay. So, as we take a look at this, this is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you. This is verse 20. And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both in the tent and the vessels used and worshipped. Okay, so we have this first covenant with God. And first covenant means sacrifice with blood. So God has decided that that's going to end. Why? Well, let's look at the gospel lesson. Verse 29. Okay, one of the scribes came up and said, which commandment is the most important of all? If you've ever seen movies like the Ten Commandments or any of that, when you see somebody that's Jewish walks into a house, they have a little box on the side of the door, okay? And they touch that and kiss, okay? What is in there? It's a little piece of paper that says, Shema Yisrael Adonai Achenu Adonai Echod. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay, so I look at this, and Jesus answered, the most important. Most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Why does he say that first? Because there is none but one God. Now, we know that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are part of that, but there's still just one God. We don't have a pantheon of gods where each God has got a little bit of a fiefdom that he handles things. Uh-uh, it doesn't work that way. But then Jesus says this, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind and with all your strength. And we took that down and it got destroyed. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. So we usually say we have two, but there is a third one, and that's now the hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So, God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us, that we might have eternal life. Right? God so loved the world. What is love in this case? Well, it's agape. And as Carolyn said that day, it's undeserved favor. Did I get that close?
Kindness.
Okay.
Sorry,
no, but I'll tell you, that nailed it that day. Undeserved kindness. If we're sinners, do we deserve it? No. Is it freely offered? Yes. But why? God knew that this was going to end, didn't he? He knew the time for the first covenant had for God's people had ended. But yet his decree is you have to have the most pure sacrifice there is. Perfect in every way, without blemish. Well, how is he going to come up with that? He sent part of himself down. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. But yet we know Jesus and God are part of the same God here, right? So God sent himself to die for us. What a wonderful gift. Can you imagine that? Because perfect without blemish and it's a love that knows no bounds. And I can't think of the word in Latin. Sorry about that. So when Jesus went to the cross, it's agape. So undeserved kindness. Let's go ahead and use that for today. Plus, the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins with something perfect and without blemish. Did God follow his own rules? Yes. But he also ended the old covenant and started a new covenant. But yet it's still based in blood, isn't it? This is the new covenant in my blood. Shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. The new covenant. 1 Corinthians 13, right? Or, yeah, 13. So, when we go to the Lord's Supper, it's that new covenant. It's the new blessing earned for us by Jesus on the cross. I'm not telling you anything new. You know all this, right? But the thing that we never really think about is why it happened. You know, remember Paul Harvey with his the rest of the story. That's the rest of the story. That sacrifice had to be perfect. And what was more perfect than God sacrificing himself for us? There is no greater love than the person who lays down his life for his friends. Right out of the Bible. Jesus laid down his life for his friends, for all of us. What a great gift that is. And what a great blessing that is. May this blessing of the visible part of God's love keep our hearts and minds on Jesus Christ. Amen.